The Duende Steel boys and girls who have nice names and sweet voices.
This is really ultimately about the history of unwanted suitors.
Ugh.
Pretty girl problem.
I know.
Welcome to The Gods Must Be Crazy.
We are Anima and
Ice.
And The Gods Must Be Crazy is a podcast on Filipino mythology and folklore.
Yes. And today we are tackling another one of the Big Five.
Yes, the last of the Big Five.
The last of the Big Five. Yes. As we've classified it.
Yes, as we've classified it.
Purely subjectively.
Non-canonical.
Classification.
Classification.
And it is...
It is Chanak, Manananggal, Kapre,
Tikbala. And finally, you guys have been asking for this for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I can literally, there's so many requests for this.
Yes.
We're covering the Duende.
Yes.
And one of the offshoots or types of Duende,
mm-hmm.
which is the
Nuno
Sapunso.
Yes.
So I'm very excited for this episode, but it was very daunting, I have to tell you, because it's, we mentioned this in the Tikbalang episode. It's one of those things where there's a lot,
mm-hmm.
but there's also not enough.
Yes.
Written about it.
Yes.
Like, there's so many stories of people's encounters.
Yes.
With Duende.
Yes.
But there's also like, the lore is very confusing.
Yes.
In that there are multiple different types,
mm-hmm.
or classifications.
Mm-hmm.
That are, I don't know if they're mutually exclusive or not, or they're classifications that don't exist within each other. I don't know how to explain it.
So we'll get into or like if in a Venn diagram,
yeah.
if they're a separate circle or if they're an intersection.
Yeah, yeah. And it's not clear where they can possibly overlap,
mm-hmm.
but it just reflects the richness of the mythologies in the different cultures that we have, right?
Yes.
Because this is a prime example of very different types of lore that have been forcibly brought together under one umbrella term.
Yeah.
And that is the Duende,
mm-hmm.
right? So I think let's start just very, very, very top line, which is with what is a Duende,
okay.
right? And how do we understand a Duende? So... Our friend, we don't know him personally, but Maximo Ramos.
Maximo
D. Ramos, who...
Is he alive? No, he looks old now.
So he is the, quote-unquote, the dean of Philippine lore mythology. Because he did lots of research in stories that had to do with what he called lore mythology. So
mm-hmm.
What that means technically is like that level below the gods and goddesses. So what
I don't think
different...
he's alive anymore because he studied in like the 40s.
Yeah, so all the different like spirits and creatures and demons and cryptids and etc. So if you have been interested in Philippine mythology for a while, you are probably familiar with the series of books that he's released. So for example, Legends of the Lower Gods, The Creatures of Midnight, Philippine Legends and Folktales, and stuff like that. We do have an episode on book recommendations. I think we talk about this
yes.
and others. I think it's episode 21, if I'm not mistaken. So you can look into that. But yeah, so he did a lot of studies on the Aswang Complex and stuff like that. And he tried to make a classification,
yeah.
right? Obviously now from a Filipino perspective.
Yes.
On all the different creatures yes. of our lore.
Mm-hmm.
So he created a compendium of lore mythological creatures in the Philippines. And the Duende, or dwarves.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say that the word dwarf is...
derogatory.
Not a misnomer. No. Not a misnomer, but like it's kind of an attribution that came at a later point in time.
Okay.
Like they were like, oh yeah, they're probably dwarves.
Yeah,
but they're
yeah.
not... Like, they were not necessarily called dwarves
yeah.
in the past.
Right? Yeah.
Because we don't have the word for dwarf, really, in our
and
language.
Even Duende is Spanish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the duende was a spirit of the field or mm-hmm. spirit of the hill or people of the ground, right? Uh-huh. Hence yeah. the Nuno sa Punso,
yeah.
right? Which is ancestor of the hill
bound.
Or yeah. mound, right? And there are a lot of recorded lore now do talk of the duende as being diminutive in mm-hmm. stature, but we don't actually have proof that they've always been small.
Yeah,
yeah. It's one of those classic things where they could have just been the spirits that existed in nature
yeah, yeah.
that have been later down the line assigned physical attributes yeah, because yeah. of stories associated with them.
A lot of lore of like all the like if it's a trickster type of mm-hmm. Nuno or duende is like they're invisible.
Mm-hmm.
They're invisible at all. And then, like, there are some people who say na, oh, nakakakita ng duende, or, like, they can see duende. But for them, they're, like, dust motes. They said if dust, I don't know if you'll have it, but, like, dust motes are duende though.
Or, like, oh, wow. You know, yeah. That's so small. Yeah. It's at an yeah. atomic level.
Yeah.
So, to start off, before we get into the information of the different duende, because there are classifications that have to do with their physical attributes and mm-hmm. what they're known for,
mm-hmm.
but there are also like color classifications.
Yes, yes. There's so, like a red duende.
No, don't spoil
okay,
it.
Okay, okay, okay. Sorry.
I'm telling you.
Okay, okay. It's your story.
And...
oh, I'm so excited.
Okay.
I'm hugging my pillow. I'm so excited. First,
I'm going to start with a few stories, but I'll start with one really interesting story that will kind of give you an idea of how they were perceived as well as what they're capable of.
Ooh.
Right? So there are two stories and they're kind of similar, but okay. So there was a girl who lived in Leyte.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
She Leyte was again!
Leyte again. And her name was
Imelda Marcos. No.
Her name was Tessie.
Tessie.
Yeah. And they said that she was like, she was so lively, she was so pretty, you know, she was so cheerful. And she was well known in her town, right? One day on, and there's a specific day, on April 5th, 1966.
Super specific. Okay.
She would never forget that day. Okay. Because that was a day that her life was never the same again.
Okay.
So, she was sweeping the yard,
mm-hmm.
right? And I think it was like twilight.
Mm-hmm.
And
I can imagine her like sweeping the yard. You know, old fashioned, like when you're sweeping.
Yeah.
And then your other hand is in your like chest. So that hindi ka masilipan.
The blouse will not
Your blouse open. Will not yeah. Open to reveal your breast.
So she was sweeping the yard. And then suddenly, she saw like what looked like a bearded old man. And his eyes were like twinkling, like bright looking. But he barely even reached her knees.
A little man. A little old man. Okay.
And when she saw him, she was like, oh my God. She obviously was very scared. And she started to kind of turn away. She mm-hmm. wanted to leave. But then she heard like a voice. As she turned, a voice said, "Don't run, Tessie. I don't intend to harm you."
Oh my God.
And she was like, how does this old man know my name? And it seemed like he could read her thoughts because he said, unprompted, "I have often heard people call you by that beautiful name.
Oh my God.
Don't be afraid. Because
so creepy.
I'm your friend.
Stalker."
And Tessie, it says here in the story that Tessie was moved by his courtesy.
Huh? Girl, the bar is low.
The bar is in hell. But she felt kind of weird to be standing like so tall and like not able to reach his eyes because he was like so short. And he looked at his features and his skin was dark brown. His ears were kind of like round and big like a mouse's ears.
Oh my God.
And his eyes puffed like mushroom buttons, like bulging. And then his nose was flaring. And he didn't have shoes. His toes were like very far apart.
He's a hobbit.
From
He's
each other.
An ugly hobbit.
And And she was like, oh, this is too disturbing. And then she turned to leave. But the guy, like, you know, pleaded with her. He said, let's be friends, Tessie. That's all I ask.
You're creepy, creepy old man.
And so she stopped and she was about to say no. But then she was like, wait, this is scary. Because I've heard stories of, like, if you refuse friendship of these creatures or whatever, like, he could make her sick. She's heard of people who kind of had fevers or chills or, like, had, like, weird skin diseases or, like, you know, died in paralysis or ever for paralysis or something for offending them. And she didn't want to offend him. So instead of saying no, she was like, she just nodded.
Okay.
But then she was like, can I go now?
Yeah.
And then he was like, sure, you can. But let's meet again soon.
Ew!
And so a week went by. And nothing happened, thankfully, right? Then one day, she was out and she was actually chasing grasshoppers.
I mean,
yes,
there's no internet in 1960s. So.
People had to entertain themselves. So she was chasing grasshoppers. And then suddenly, like across the fence, she saw him flashing his toothy smile at her. So Jesus suddenly saw him and he was smiling at her from under a shrub.
Ew.
This time, he came and he wore a basket hat, a salakot.
Okay.
So, salakot is a traditional farmer hat. So, usually it's made of rattan or basket weave or whatever. And, you know, farmers use it to protect themselves from the sun.
It protects your head, but also, like, your shoulders. Yeah. It's a very wide-brimmed, like a triangular
Sometimes
hat.
It's wide-brimmed, It's like an upside-down bowl tray shape. So, this time he wore a basket hat. That was tipped with a tiny, shiny stud of gold at the top.
Oh.
And his clothes were shimmered with jewels.
Oh, he's wearing his, like, Sunday best.
Yeah. And he said, look, I'm an old hand at mistress winning.
What? I don't think that's something you brag about, little man. Mistress winning.
If they're scared of you, like, is that really because you're really good at this? Anyway, look. He said, look, I'm an old hand at mistress winning and I waste no words. I love you and I want you to be my bride. I know I'm not much to look at, but there's plenty of treasure in my home for you.
I'm ugly but rich.
He's like, do you want a sugar daddy or what?
A sugar baby. Yeah. Because he's a little itty bitty. Yeah.
So he tried to reach up to her hand, but she screamed. She ran, right? She went upstairs to their house. A week later, so nothing happens, right? Mm-hmm. And then a week later, she was embroidering.
Okay.
Like, she was, you know those, like hoop things?
Yes.
Yeah, and she was like, she was just, like, quietly just doing her embroidery at the bottom of the kitchen ladder. Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing this was one of those, like, you had
raised
to...
Raised houses.
You had to go up and down the ladder to go to the house. So... She was doing that, and then suddenly she heard his voice again. It was kind of a high voice. And she was singing, he was singing a love song for her.
Ew,
I'm not gonna sing, okay? I'm just gonna tell you his quote unquote lyrics. But basically, he was just like, come, Tessie, he sang. And his arms were like extended towards her, come to me.
Ew.
I don't know what the rest of his lyrics were. But then she was like, leave me alone, old man.
Yeah.
Leave me.
Ew, no.
And he left. And Tessie was scared because she was like, oh my God, am I going to get sick because I was actually rude to this person. Yeah. But she didn't get sick.
I'm so stressed out.
However, each night, after everyone else was asleep, he sat beside her bed and he would whisper, come away with me.
Yo!
Tessie.
Stop
come
her.
Away with me.
Like Twilight.
Sama ka sa akin, Tessie. Let's go. Like your dad's stories.
Ew, creepy.
And that happened every single night.
So she was like subliminally.
Like when she was going to sleep. And
ew,
so
gross.
Eventually, as the days passed by, people noticed that, like, you know, the shine left Tessie's eyes. She was like, she wasn't laughing anymore. She was constantly, like, stressed out. She could never relax. And
whenever there would be like a rustle of leaves or loud noises,
yeah, like super bad.
She would be like, she'd be so jumpy and scared. She would never relax. So eventually, her family got worried. They called the priest over. Uh-huh. And the priest came, and it says here, he came chanting Latin verses to exorcise evil spirits he did not name.
Mm-hmm.
He sprinkled holy water, and he tossed a censer around the house and in the yard, right?
I hate censers.
And so for a month, actually...
Oh, no, maybe I'm the demon.
For a month, actually, the suitor, the maniligo, did not show up his face. Did not show his face. And, you know, she started kind of like being a bit more like...
Relaxed,
a bit more cheerful again. But one day, while she sat in her room, a pebble fell at her feet.
Okay.
It was bluish green. Okay. And it shone like a jewel.
Okay.
Like she often saw in the brook just outside town when her friends and her went swimming. And she started shaking with fear because she knew that that meant her manliligaw was back.
Ew.
And when she woke up the next day, there was like this fragrance, this like fresh kind of smell. And so they were so scared, they called for the folk healer.
Okay.
And the folk
finally
healer,
the big guns.
Finally, and the folk healer said, okay, this suitor is about to redouble his efforts to court you. And Tessie's parents, therefore, like, packed her things up and took her to a long boat ride to Manila. So they brought her to the city because they were like, look, maybe if he's in a crowd or whatever, he will not follow her.
Uh-oh.
Right? She will be far away. So they got her an office job.
So, thank you for joining our company on her onboarding. Why did you decide to move from Leyte to Manila and join our company?
I'm running away from a spiritual suitor.
Okay, yeah, that's... Let me note that down on your psychological profile.
So, for some days, it seemed that the plan worked, right? But then, the other employees kind of started getting a bit worried. And they felt disturbed because there's this pretty girl from the province. She's so, like, pretty, but she kind of had, a weird behavior. She was talking to herself.
No.
At work.
No.
And so, they realized that her suitor followed her into the city and was still pursuing her. And so the company doctor had a few sessions with her, and eventually he had to call the parents, and he told them that she should not be working in the office. And he was like, maybe, you know, the schedule's too intense, maybe, or the job is too monotonous or whatever, and that's why her mind is wandering. She needs to get some rest in a quiet institution. And so she was sent to an institution, and it was, you know, it was in a quiet area. It wasn't in the noisy city, and there was a stone wall lined with green shrubbery that surrounded the sides, and specialists attended to her. And in fact, eventually they said that, you know, even though her suitor visited her, it was much less frequent than before. I'm like, is this really better? But they were like, oh, the visits are becoming less and less frequent. And they were like, oh, she's probably well enough to go home by the next Christmas. So I think that was the end of it. It was a bit anticlimactic, and we don't know whether that's really how it was. So she eventually went back to town. She got married. She had a daughter who they say would probably be as pretty and as tall as she was. And she was never again followed by her molester.
Story also known as Tessie gets a bout of schizophrenia.
I know, maybe she was just mentally ill. We don't know.
Was she around like 21, 27 years old? Because that's usually like the age.
She's probably like late teens, early 20s.
Yeah.
Especially if she was eventually sent to the city to work.
That's when schizophrenia starts to blossom.
Probably.
Yeah. Hearing voices, psychosis.
Yeah.
Paranoia.
So that was stressful.
Oh,
so I'm gonna tell you another story, but so this one is a story of a girl.
Why are girls
Yeah, I know.
And
it's so funny.
We've had to deal with lechers and stalkers.
So many unwanted suitors.
So many.
This is about, this is really ultimately about the history of unwanted suitors. Pretty girl problem.
I know, I'm sorry.
Okay. So there was a girl. Mm-hmm. Her name was Marina Rodriguez.
Ooh, she sounds like artista.
She was a Eurasian.
Okay.
Which basically just means it's a mixed race. So probably one of her parents.
No, you know, Eurasian is actually a racial selection that you can pick here in Singapore. You're supposed to like indicate the race of your kid, like for Tegan, like when we registered her for her birth. And the choices were like Chinese, Malay, Indian, others, Eurasian. So we
interesting.
Eurasian, yeah.
Okay. So that's Marina as well. Mm-hmm. Marina Rodriguez is a Eurasian. In 1960, she was 14 years old.
Okay.
When she met her first suitor.
Okay.
She's 14.
No.
So she was playing hide and seek with other girls beside her father's old warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
Right? One afternoon. And then suddenly there was a little man standing in front of her. It always takes a turn for the creepy when, like, there's just, like, a random man, like, creepily waiting for you. I don't
know why they think that the first thing should be, like, I'm just gonna show her my true form out of the blue. Willy-nilly.
Maybe they don't have the power to shapeshift.
Or maybe, you know, write a letter.
That's what the Encanto did, remember?
Yes,
in the Encanto episode. Look how that turned out. And then she was like, oh my god, look at him. He's such a funny little man.
Oh, nano.
Okay.
Now that we're at the start of the story, I can tell you a little restaurant break.
Okay.
So there's a place in Boracay, but also in Malate called the Hobbit House.
Oh, I've been there.
Yeah. I've never been there personally.
Okay.
But it's the guy who owns it was really obsessed. Well, he passed away
already. With the Hobbits.
With the Hobbits, yeah. With Tolkien in general. And so he started these restaurants. And he's actually quite the humanitarian. You know, he would go to Peria to like freak shows and recruit the little people and give them jobs at his restaurant. And all of them who work there like really love him.
Is the restaurant still open?
The one in Boracay is still. But the guy has passed away.
I remember, I don't think we went there, but we passed by it. It's a restaurant in Boracay where all the servers and all the staff
are little people.
They're all little people.
So my side story is that there was a marketing director before in the company we used to work in, and he was very politically incorrect.
Oh no! And he said,
this was like a recent leader. So he used to make this joke of like, let's go to Hobbit House. He, by the way, was also a smaller man himself. So I think he was just punching down literally.
Oh, God.
So he said, we should go to the Hobbit House, and then when, you know, the waiters are going to come to clear our dishes, for example, ito yung plato, right? And then they're going to come up to the edge to take your dish. And you go like,
Oh my God.
And then like pretend you don't know that there's little people working there.
That is so truly horrible.
And then when they come up like beside you, you act like really shocked and you go like, oh nano!
Oh my God.
He was so like wrong, like so like politically incorrect, but like you're mean.
I'm shocked that he wasn't eventually like punished by a duende.
I mean,
as we will note later on what they do.
The fact that he was little was his punishment.
Oh my God.
Sidebar.
Horrible behavior.
Okay. So he appeared, oh my God, what a funny little man.
She's like, oh my God, look at that funny little man. And then her playmates, because they were playing hide and seek, diba?
Right? Also, they're 14. Of course, she had playmates.
Her playmates who were like hiding, came out of hiding. They were like, what are you talking about? They were like, there's no one there. What are you talking about?
Oh, she could see him.
Yeah. They were like, okay, Marina, can you please like close your eyes now so that we can hide and actually play this game?
And she was like, yeah.
Yeah. But she ignored them. And then she kept pointing at the stranger. And she kept on laughing at the stranger. And then, eventually her friends like kind of like got scared. They were like, Marina, what's going on?
Yeah.
And then she was like, but it's true. He's really there. And then she kept laughing and laughing. And then there were two more men that stood before her, two little men. They were barely 2 feet tall. They had green skin. They had long green beards and blue eyes. And they looked like the little men in the picture book that her father showed her when she was mm-hmm. in Spain last. That's what she kind of like thought about. And the first one that she saw was dressed in like very ornate attire. Mm-hmm. And he looked like he was like the king or the leader
yeah.
of these people. And the other two wore like something that looked like a, I don't know, like maybe foot soldiers or attendants yeah, yeah. or something. And eventually, like, the little men disappeared, right? And Marina's like, oh, where did they go? And then she joined her playmates again. But she kept thinking of them at the back of her mind. Now, the following Sunday, and this is where it gets kind of ick. Ew. The following Sunday, she was in the bathroom.
Ew, gross.
Absolutely disgusting.
Lecherous.
And the king guy, the dwarf king or duende king or whatever, visited her while she was in the bathroom.
Ew.
And he made her promise not to tell anyone about his visit.
Ew.
And she was like, if you tell anyone, something that I should be very sorry for will happen to you. He warned her. Ugh. So I kind of get like ick just reading it.
Yucky.
And then at first his visits were like once a week.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then it happened each night.
Ew, gross.
And then her parents noticed that there was like a jumpiness to Marina mm-hmm, that mm-hmm. wasn't there before.
Mm-hmm.
There was kind of like her she would like dart a glance quickly at like, you know, around her. 14 whenever is she was also with them.
A time when paranoia and schizophrenia pops up. Yeah. It's every 7 years. Yeah.
And this was very disturbing to them. And at some point, she was having difficulty recognizing the people who spoke to her.
Oh, no.
And finally, they confronted her and they were like, Marina, what's going on?
I have meningitis. And it's giving me aphasia.
So she was like, I'm really scared. There's this being that's visiting me. And they were like, who's visiting you? And she finally said, his name is Don Alfonso. And he says he's king. He's the king of the duende. And he promised me that he would give me riches and power if I agreed to be his queen.
Ew.
So his parents actually called a psychiatrist.
Yeah.
So they called a psychiatrist from Manila. And so the young doctor came, questioned Marina, and then told her parents, okay, you need to be gentle with her. We need to keep her under observation. And she was like, look, she's young. She's growing up. She's probably going to grow out of it.
Mm-hmm.
We just need to give her time.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's how he reassured them.
And antipsychotics.
And he suggested that they actually get a nurse to okay. help watch over Marina and stay in her room because nga, she's being visited every night, right? Mm-hmm. So they did. They got her a nurse and she would stay with Marina mm-hmm. And watch over her while she slept. This made the Dwarf King very angry.
Oh no.
And he would slip into the room. He would creep into the nurse's bed and he would pinch her until she screamed and she was like shrieking and she was like, ah, ouch, ouch, ouch.
Oh my God.
And he would pinch her every night.
Would she see him?
Huh?
Would she see him?
It doesn't say, but clearly it was not working, mm-hmm. right? So Marina's parents, therefore, took her to her aunt who lived on the other side of town.
Okay.
Right? And said, okay, she's going to take care of you. And at the start, it seemed like it was working. So, you know, there were no visits or whatever. Then one afternoon, she was sitting reading a storybook in the sala, in the living room. And then suddenly, in front of her, in the chair, like in front of her, was the maliliga, was the dwarf suitor. And she was like, how did you find me?
Uh-huh.
And he said, kings have ways of finding these things out. And Marina saw him and he was stroking his long beard. And she said,
how will it end?
She said, by the way, what makes you keep stroking your beard? And like, this is such a weird conversation. Does he get into your soup when you eat?
I mean,
it's fair.
It's a good question.
And she said, and he said, my beard is the source of my power. Ooh. And you know, royalty eats without getting messed up in his beard. I don't know. He said, because I'm royal, I can do it. I don't know.
Samson.
And then she said, that actually reminds me. You once told me that you would give me power if I became your queen. Mm-hmm. Like, what do you mean by that? And he said, I will give you all the power you ask for if you marry me. I will make you invisible when mm-hmm. you wish. You can pass through keyholes. You can pass through crevices in the ground. I will give you all the gold you want. And you know that gold is power. Mm-hmm. And the power to sing like a diva. And wow. dance like a ballet queen.
And don't make me close.
Not just sing, but sing like a diva, okay?
I don't want to hurt anymore.
Walk by every night.
Okay. Down in sweet and looking
so,
sad.
So, then the dwarf made her sing and dance.
But it's just a and sweet, she, sweet fantasy, baby. And?
Then the dwarf made her sing and dance. And she sang, like, you know, with such passion. And she danced, like, you know, so intensely that the neighbors started coming. They were like, what's going on with Marina? And they were like, she's so good. We never thought this was possible. But again, she kind of, like, just did it out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And so her parents became even more worried. And they were like, okay, clearly this is, I don't know. I don't know if this goes beyond, like, science or whatever. They called for a local healer to come.
Finally, the big guns.
The big guns. So they sent for an herb healer who claimed that he actually interacted with the dark gods of the ancient earth. Mm-hmm. And he came and he looked over her. And he left without saying anything. Then he returned early the next day and made them promise not to tell anyone what he was about to tell them.
Okay.
And he said, the king of the dwarves, the king of the duendes, says that he wants to marry your daughter. And the dad is like, but she's just 14.
Yes.
And the healer said, 14 is not that young. That for 14 is not too early. My grandmother was 12 and she married my grandfather.
Greetings. So it's the 60s.
And then he whispered his plan to the
parents.
Father's ear. Mm. And after that, what happened was all of the boys in the neighborhood, you know, all of the young men were allowed to call on her in the evenings.
Oh.
So they kind of said, like, we're going to let her have other suitors.
Yeah.
And whenever it would happen that a suitor would come and visit the house was stoned. Stones were thrown at the house.
Who would throw the stones?
In the evenings when her human callers were up there with her.
Oh. So the duendes were attacking the house.
Yeah. So the healer told them that the duende was just trying to scare them off, but they should act like it's
nothing's happening. Yeah.
They should act like they don't mind it, right? And before long, one of the suitors who was supposedly the most handsome, most tall and strapping young man, you know, he stayed. He persisted. He kept, like, calling on Marina. And at last, the dwarf stopped coming. And then the periods of, like, absent-mindedness of Marina, where she was, like, you know, not herself, started becoming less and less frequent.
Yay!
Right? And in a year, she married the man. And in the wedding, everyone was, like, so relieved because, you know, the dwarf didn't show himself. And finally, she was free.
Mm-hmm.
The story's not over.
Oh, no. Or so we thought.
But then she had her first baby. And when the first baby came, the dwarf started visiting her again.
No!
And they called on the healer and they were like, why is he still here? What does he want? And, and why is he still bothering us? I thought this was done already. And the healer said that because the Duende King was so brokenhearted and so hurt, he wants her to give him her child.
Like Rumpelstiltskin.
To appease his pain. And he was like, but don't worry. We can just give him something else to pacify him. Mm. So make some rice cakes fit for an old man.
Okay.
But like, this doesn't mean like don't put any seasoning in it. Okay, so okay. No salt, no spices or whatever.
Also, the blenders don't like salt, right?
Yeah. Put no seasoning on it so that his digestion will not be ruined. Okay. So when you say fit for an old man, and you will, and so that he doesn't suspect that you're trying to poison him or anything, and put the food in a wicker in a basket and place it in the old warehouse where they first found him. So that's what they did. They made the seasoning and whatever, and they brought it to the warehouse, and Marina was like, I hope he doesn't come and disturb me again. And true enough, it worked. So somehow this was able to assuage the king of the Duendes. And he never bothered them again.
Wow.
Who knew Bibinka could have saved her earlier on?
Oh my god.
But that's what happens.
They didn't call the big guns to start with.
That's what happens when you get the unwanted attention. That's
so creepy. Did I tell you that a former co-worker of ours, she got a new condo in Salcedo Village. And there was like she just felt a bad vibe in the apartment.
Uh-huh.
And so she called. I don't know. She was manghuhula, got like tarot card and everything. So she did her tarot cards, which are fun. Oh, she told me not to cut my hair short or else I would become a lesbian.
Oh, we totally missed lesbian anime era.
I know you did. It was college lesbian anime era. And then she told that she would be involved with a married man. And it did happen. But then she also said that our friend whose house it was had... There was a presence in her house. And it's likely it's Duende. And the way that she could tell that there was Duende in her house was she would get a bowl.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you did tell me about this.
Right? You get a bowl and put like salt in it. And then put it in the doorway of every room. So let's say like three different rooms. Freaky. Living room, blah, 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 blah. And in her guest room and in her bedroom, the salt became like grayish to black. And that's how the manghuhula said, that's how you know the maid went. So I think she did an exorcism of the room, which had like incense and things to banish it.
Oh my god.
I know. And I said like, oh, you know. And then I had another friend who she said, she every time that she would cut her hair short, nagagalit daw the duende.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So possessive. Excuse me.
Yeah, like they would let them live her. She could live her life as long as she didn't cut her long hair. Right. That's kind of crazy.
So problematic.
Duende and hair relations.
Okay.
Okay.
So I'll read to you the different descriptions of the different duende that's recorded in the book called The Creatures of Midnight. So that's one of the recordings from like different regions on what they believe.
Are they part of the Encanto house of animals, of genus?
So in this classification, according to Maximo Ramos, they're kind of a different subset.
Okay.
I believe that they are, though, part of the same Diwata and Kanto kind of cluster. Only because if you read enough of the epics, you realize that Duende is kind of a general term for a spirit of the natural world.
Right.
And sometimes there aren't even descriptions of the Duende. Sometimes the term Duende and Diwata are interchangeable. Duende and kind of like spirit, and guardian.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where I think this is a very, what's this, post kind of like classification.
I wonder if there used to be like an accepted form before.
Uh-huh.
Tapos parang it was just taken for granted. It's like when we talk about like a house, like right, we'll talk about a house.
Mm-hmm.
And 2,000 years from now, houses will look very different, right?
Mm.
And then if we say like, oh yeah, so they went up the house, and you're like, what? No, you go down the house, you know? And so maybe they did have a description, but because it was probably like common knowledge, they didn't think to put it in the epics.
Maybe.
Put it in the writings.
It's also possible that eventually there were enough stories of what seemed to be like diminutive creatures, which had kind of very similar...
The little people.
characteristics and personality-ish mm-hmm. quirks or things that they typically did that it mm-hmm. it made sense to kind of say they probably all belong within the same group, yeah. right? And it reminds me of, you know, I mean, fairies of the old Irish folkloric tradition, mm-hmm. right? The pre-Catholic Celtic tradition. Fairies had always been kind of mystical yeah. higher beings.
I always think that our Duende perceptions
and they were kind of like humanoid and also, I mean, pretty much like beautiful, just the most beautiful version of the people mm-hmm. that you see today. Mm-hmm. And they were, they suddenly became these like little tiny pixie like things, which they weren't always, mm-hmm. right? So let's just talk very briefly about the etymology, which you know already, but mm-hmm. for the, you know, benefit of our listeners. So, duende is known in multiple, so as a term, right? In multiple cultures, the duende is known as a humanoid figure of folklore that is comparable to beings like dwarves, gnomes, leprechauns. I think one common thing about them is a lot of times they're diminutive and they are almost always kind of like earth
yeah.
elementals or spirits or beings the of the earth. So a lot of the associations have to do with the earth as opposed to, let's say, water or air and stuff like that. The duende folklore exists in Iberian tradition, Ibero-American tradition, Filipino culture. And, you know, obviously because the word is Spanish in origin. So duende is a Spanish word, and it's a contraction of the phrase dueño de la casa. Or duende. So, dueño de la casa, which became shortened to duende casa, which means master of the house. Oh. Because in a lot of the folklore, yes, they were beings of, like, you know, sacred places.
They're house elves.
They're house elves. Dobby is a duende. Because they were in like
the walls, right?
The walls, yeah. hidden places. Yeah. They were usually in the walls of children's bedrooms yeah. and stuff like that. A lot of the stories, especially in the Spanish tradition, are like they steal your stuff from the house. So when yeah. you can't find something in the house,
the duende got
it. It's not because you're forgetful or yeah. disorganized.
The duende got
it. It's because the duende was there and you never find it when you need it, but when you don't need it, that's when you see it.
Yes.
Right? That's kind of the.
The like 80% of duende lore in modern day.
Yeah. And eventually, like, I think through enough kind of syncretization, even within European traditions, they became more or less interchangeable with dwarves and gnomes and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. We won't get into the whole kind of Norse culture and origins of dwarves in this episode. I think it would be a great follow-up episode. We can yeah. look into it. Because there's a whole other... I went down that rabbit hole as a person.
The Norse dwarves.
I, as a person, yeah. went down that rabbit hole, but I was like, I don't want it to turn into another three-parter with, like, offshoots. So... In a future bonus episode, we are going to talk about interrelated
mythologies. I was about to ask, has there been any records of duende before the Spanish came? But then in the epic, in our last epic series, there was a duende. But that could be a translation. So I'm not sure.
So to answer your question, probably before the Spanish came, they were not called duende.
Yeah.
That's conjecture on my part. I don't know for sure. But yeah, because duende is such a Spanish word, right?
Yeah,
I think it's similar to capre and stuff mm-hmm. like that, where it became, or encanto, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. It became their term for these creatures in the stories that they heard of from the locals, and that became interchangeable because they had different names in different cultures.
Okay.
So this is a description in general of the duende, and Maximo Ramos calls them dwarves.
Okay.
So the Philippine dwarves look like, by the way, I just found this out and I feel like if you're into grammar, you might be interested. Dwarfs and dwarves are completely interchangeable.
Yes.
In fact, the correct pluralization is actually dwarfs with an F.
Really?
D-W-A-R-F-S. The reason we started using dwarfs is because of J.R.R. Tolkien. Because in his book, he started pluralizing them as dwarves. And then he was later like asked about it, and he said, actually, I'm very embarrassed. It was just a mistake. But I, by the time, I'd written so much, and yeah, it just made sense to stick with it. But as a philologist or a lover of language, I'm very like,
it was very
embarrassed.
Yes.
But,
well, you know,
impact on the culture. We now call them dwarves, but
yes,
interchangeable, guys.
Also, like as an adjective or an adverb, dwarven.
Mm.
We don't say dwarfen.
But maybe we could have.
But we can say dwarfish
mm.
as a descriptor.
Yeah.
Dwarven, dwarfish.
So probably it should be interchangeable. Anyway.
Yeah. Now I just question like staff. The plural of staff in like video games is staves.
Mm.
But it's a single F.
Should be staffs.
Should be staffs, but then it squeaks at me.
Okay. Anyway. That's Tolkien's fault. Yeah. All right. So usually a lot of the dwarves in our folklore are like old men. And it's said because past the age of 2 or 3, they stop growing.
Oh no.
So they would grow until they're 2 or 3 years old.
So like their babies would look the same as
yeah.
ours?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then they would grow to 2 or 3, and then they would stop growing vertically.
Oh.
But because of that, they usually have large heads. Mm-hmm. So I guess in proportion to the rest of the body.
Yeah, like a two-year-old.
Yeah. They have large heads, large eyes, large noses, large mouths. And their ears are big and round, like in the description earlier. It's like a mouse.
Yeah.
Right? It's said that usually, just weird, they can't see clearly. They have very bad eyesight. But they can hear very well.
So ears are so big.
Exactly. And usually their hands or feet, their elbows and
or
knees.
Or backwards?
No, their joints are very large.
Okay,
it's
like
so weird.
Knobby. They're very knobby.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
It's because of arthritis.
Yeah, maybe. Okay. And then usually they have long and thin beards.
Okay.
And obviously because, you know, Filipinos have a hard time growing thick, bushy beards. It's just, you know, genetics. They usually wear red or brown clothes.
Mm-hmm.
I guess this is like the earthen colored. So the very like earth colors, neutral themed. And they usually wear a salakot, right? And the salakot could be made of rattan, woven baskets, etc. Or the dried upo fruit.
Oh!
And upo is, I believe it's the vegetable or the fruit that we use to create loofahs. Am I mistaken?
Patola?
Is it both?
Let's look it up. What is the Tagalog name of loofah? Patola!
Not okay. So I'm glad we sorted that out.
Okay.
Where was I? Okay. So they usually live in homes under the ground.
So wait, is there hat upo or panada?
Upo.
Okay.
It says upo here.
Okay.
They live in their homes under the ground, and they have jars of golds and rubies and sapphires and emeralds and
the
diamonds.
Dwarves in seven in Snow White and the Seven.
Well, dwarves again in Norse mythology, dwarves are known for links with metallurgy, right?
Mining, creation.
Exactly. Because a lot of precious stones are under the ground, right?
Yes, yes.
Where was I? And this is the part that I found weird because I never heard of this in lore, but it's very specific and consistent in multiple stories.
Mm-hmm.
They come out of their homes at noon.
Noon?
And about sunset.
Okay.
And they safely come out of their homes at noon because they want to eavesdrop on what's happening. They're like, they're gossips.
They're chismoso.
They're gossips. They want to know what's going on. Mm-hmm. So they at noon they come out. They either hang out on their mounts and then like
listen.
Or if they're not near enough to houses, sometimes they walk under the houses of people just to hear what's going on.
Yeah,
and that's
remember in Trece, the Nuno was the intel, like was the gossip gatherer. Yeah.
Because they love listening in on people's conversations. So they would do that, and that's why children would be forbidden from coming out of the house at between noon and 3 p.m. I know.
I thought that's just so like siesta time.
I think that it's linked, right? It's to force them to siesta. And then they're not allowed.
They're like, oh, there's no one out there.
Yeah, exactly. And they're not allowed after 6 p.m. as well, because then the duende will be out.
Mm-hmm. That's why they came at dusk at Marina's house.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So this is all logical. This is making twisted logic in my head.
And then they say that they pass by magic through the holes in the termite mounds.
Yes.
The punso.
The punso, yes.
Right.
When you pass the termite mounds, you always say,
Tabi-tabi po. Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Yes.
They visit our yards and premises at noon and about sunset. So, you're not allowed to sweep your floor or your yards during that time. Because you might accidentally, like, sweep dust into their eyes. They already have such bad eyesight.
Yeah.
Right?
Because so, they're low to the ground.
And because their eyes are so big. So, there's a lot of surface area you can... It, this is literally what it says here. I'm sorry. I'm not making that up. I'm not riffing. I usually riff. But I'm not riffing. It really says, if you do, you might sweep dirt into their large eyes. And if you do that, they're going to make you blind.
So only robot vacuums.
Yeah.
Which only suck.
Just bring a Roomba.
Yeah.
So you can... That Maximo Ramos did not say that, unfortunately. So we can see them, and we sometimes might step on them or hurt them, and then they will punish us. So they can pinch you, they can give you skin disease, they can make you sick with chills or fever. Or it says here they will turn your mouth to one side, which is kind of maybe
a palsy,
a stroke, a palsy, a paralysis.
Yeah.
Or if you seriously hurt them, they will kill you.
Okay.
Right? So you must ask, so like you said, you must ask for permission when you pass by ant hills or cross fields where few people go. And you have to warn them to keep off before you throw water or trash out of the window.
Yes.
So, it's kind of so common now at this point. But yes, so tabi-tabi po is an expression that is taught. And it's there are different ways to say it in different languages.
I don't know the other ones.
We can go into that later.
Okay.
But it's really just, you know, excuse me, I'm passing by. Mm-hmm. Or in Kapampanga, it's pasing tabi po.
Oh, yeah, pasing
tabi. So literally just, I'm just passing by and I mean no harm. Mm-hmm. And yeah, if you're throwing something, water, waste, whatever, you have to tell them to keep away.
As a throwback to my earlier episode, the Tikbalang episode, you're also supposed to say excuse me on the baleta tree. Like passing by the baleta tree.
I think in general, in liminal spaces, where it may make sense that there is a being there, it just makes a lot of sense to just say,
I say excuse me to this house me. All the time. Like every time, like I always, like when I go to the back of the house, when the whole house is quiet, and we are taping, by the way, in Anima's house.
Yeah, for the first time in a long time.
So if something picks up on the phones, hello. But like for example, if I'm by myself at the house and the whole house is like quiet and sort of like shut down, when I go to the spaces like in the back or in the kitchen or in the bathroom where my friend Desmond says someone hangs out there in the back in the bathroom, I would say, excuse me po, makikibanyo lang po. Like I always feel like I'm just gonna use the restroom. Excuse me, you know. Or like when I pass by, I have this sense like the archway of the house, like from the living room to the kitchen, I always like greet it like hello, good morning, you know, just to like say
I also do it whenever we pass by like fields or like there's when we were in Holland B, there was like this little small pocket field and we would go and there was like this like old tree there and kind of like a hilly place and I just would instinctively feel like I have to say
hello to the tree.
Excuse me,
that's a really pretty tree.
Oh, no, not that one. There was a hill at the back.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
that we would go to for walks. Nice. Anyway, and this all links with... So, you might think, like, it's so weird. Why are you saying, excuse me, as if they own that place, right? Yeah. Because that's what you say, like, if you're just passing by someone's property.
Yeah.
And that's because part of the lore associated with them is people believe that they are the real owners of the land.
Yes.
And that's why you need to say, excuse me. People believed in certain cultures in the Philippines that you need to pay rent to them.
Yeah.
Especially if you're using the land for farming and stuff like that. And that's why part of the lore is you give them rice cakes without any seasoning or even boiled white chicken.
Ooh.
And this is kind of your payment or your rent for planting. So usually they offer this before they plant and before they harvest or after they harvest. It's kind of like, thank you for letting me
use the land. I wonder if that's the pamahiin behind, like when you build a house, you're supposed to offer chicken's blood on all the posts We did that when we got to Pasig Batangas. We killed the chicken and we put blood in all the posts and then we put coins.
I think so.
I wonder because that's their...
Thank you for letting me use the land or that's your payment.
Yeah, maybe.
Or rent pala, not payment. You can't own it. They still own it. So you have to offer this rent before planting and after harvest. And you have to put the food in the field or under the trees after sunset so that they can pick it up easily.
Like when we went to Pico del Oro, we hiked up to the peak of Pico del Oro. And in the base
there were crackers and stuff.
Crackers, but also like rice cakes and like a leaf. In Bali, right?
So if you guys have ever been to Bali, you know that they still practice this to this day in the corners of houses, in the kind of like shrines that they have in some of the trees. They would leave little woven baskets of leaves and then you would have flowers and sometimes there's crackers. One time it was so cute. I saw someone leave Yakult. Like an unopened Yakult.
Everyone needs their probiotics.
The gut microbiome is very important. So the food must have no salt, no spices, no seasoning because the dwarves hate it. And the rice must be boiled soft because they don't have teeth.
They don't have teeth.
They have very few teeth. And that's why
they're so old.
That's why they like rice cakes. And you have to boil. That's why they need to have boiled rice. So if you're ever making any offering to the duende, make sure to take note of these things.
But like, does it have to be like glutinous rice?
Yeah. Aww. And if you don't pay rent, your crops will be very poor, right? Because you're not gonna help you. So they said that the duende steal boys and girls who have nice names and sweet voices. And that's why they say that
we
have
nicknames.
No, but that's what they say, that you have to have very boring or plain names.
Anna Marie.
So Tessie's name probably was
It's too nice.
Yeah. So they take them to their homes under the ground and they marry the pretty girls that they steal. Ugh.
Yeah.
So children must not dress well, must not have pretty names or sing in the fields. And they must not sing in the kitchen while cooking supper.
I thought that was I thought that pamahiin was because you will marry
a byudo.
A baldado. A byudo.
I don't know.
Baldado is a quadriplegic. You know.
Oh, I thought it was a bald person.
No, baldado is like someone who's
I thought the superstition was if you sing while cooking, you're gonna marry a bald person.
I thought it was you were gonna marry a widower.
Yeah. I heard both. I heard both.
I'm not thinking. Did I sing when I was cooking?
What are the dwarves called in different cultures?
Okay,
so the Ilocanos call them the Ansisit. In Ibanag, they're called the Aran.
Okay.
In Tagalog, Bisaya, Kapampangan, they're called Duende.
Okay.
In Ifugao, they're called Kalangit.
Kalangit.
Which I heard actually in some. I saw it somewhere. It's kind of similar to a mandrake, how they're perceived. Ooh. Kalangit or karangit.
Karangit, okay.
In Tagalog, they can also be called lamang lupa.
Yes.
In Ilonggot, lampong.
Mm-hmm.
Tagalog as well, they can be called taong lupa or matanda sa punso or nuno sa punso, which is...
Ancestor.
Which is a Tagalog name.
Mm-hmm.
In Mandaya, they can be called the Omayan.
Okay.
In Bagobo, they believe in the Munchanak. Which is similar to a chanak. And the chanak is also sometimes classified as a duende because of the diminutiveness.
Yeah.
So,
not age.
Hey guys, so this is where we'll have to end part one of the episode. I know we've inevitably run into the two-part marker. But that's just because there's so many stories and so many different manifestations of the duende in our stories and in cultures around the country. In part two, we'll cover a bit more in detail how the different tribes and regions of the Philippines talked about the duende. What are the different manifestations and stories that came out of that? But another interesting thing we'll talk about is the other way that the duende is classified, which is by color, ? And what do those different colors represent? We'll also be covering modern day stories or encounters that people have had with duende and nuno sa punso, and how we see that across varied media
in the modern day and in pop culture. So watch out for that. That's going to be very exciting and very interesting. And we'll see you next time. Oh, but before I forget, hey, Anima, where can they find us?
You can find us at thegodsmustbecrazy.pod on Instagram, also on Facebook, and you can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and any other platforms that you listen to your podcasts. We're also on YouTube a little bit, and we are also on Patreon.
Yeah, so you're going to be able to see advanced episodes. They're coming out like a week ahead, typically, or 2 weeks ahead. We also give you a little behind-the-scenes peek sometimes of what's going on, what we're up to. So feel free to join us. It's patreon.com/godsmustbecrazypod.
Yay!
Yay! And, you know, if you want to leave us messages, you know, we pretty much respond fairly fast there, but you can also send us a voice memo on
anchor.fhm
or even Instagram.
Yeah,
or you know, sometimes we post like questions on the episode itself when you listen to Spotify, and you can reply there directly to us. Anyway, thank you guys.
Thanks.
See ya.
Bye.
Oh, but before I forget, hey, Anima, where can they find us?
You can find us at thegodsmustbecrazy.pod on Instagram, also on Facebook, and you can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and any other platforms that you listen to your podcasts. We're also on YouTube a little bit, and we are also on Patreon.
Yeah, so you're going to be able to see advanced episodes. They're coming out like a week ahead, typically, or 2 weeks ahead. We also give you a little behind-the-scenes peek sometimes of what's going on, what we're up to. So feel free to join us. It's patreon.com/godsmustbecrazypod.
Yay!
Yay! And, you know, if you want to leave us messages, you know, we pretty much respond fairly fast there, but you can also send us a voice memo on
anchor.fhm
or even Instagram.
Yeah,
or you know, sometimes we post like questions on the episode itself when you listen to Spotify, and you can reply there directly to us. Anyway, thank you guys.
Thanks.
See ya.
Bye.